5, we want to begin looking at the healing of a woman with a blood hemorrhage. We see that Matthew and Luke also give account of this event. Mark gives the most full account, and as we do in all the miracles of Christ, we look at all the accounts, because some will say things that others left out, just like any other time when more than one person witnesses something, they notice something that someone else didn't, and we see that in the Gospels. And if we don't look at each account, I believe we miss much. But we'll read Mark's account in Mark chapter 5, read verse 25 through verse 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said within herself, no doubt, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The last miracle that we looked at was the healing of the demonic at Gadara. We see prior to that, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, arrived in Gadara. The demon-possessed man was set free of his demons. Jesus then passed back over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And that's where we pick up here with this miracle. So following the exorcism of the man of Gadara, Jesus and his apostles would again cross over the Sea of Galilee. And we see that a multitude of people, they were waiting for him, a multitude of people had gathered unto Christ. We see in Mark 5 and verse 21, Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, and when he was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Notice in Luke chapter 8 regarding this, Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, that is to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So a multitude of people have gathered around Christ. Out of this multitude, there came a ruler of one of the synagogues. His name, of course, is Jairus, and we'll look at his miracle at a later time. But he comes pleading with Jesus on behalf of his daughter, who was sick and dying. Notice in Mark again, chapter 5, verse 22. Again, in verse 21, much people gathered unto him. And in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And we see that Jesus then began to make his way to the house of Jairus, verse 24, and Jesus went with him. And the multitude that had gathered around Jesus, and much people followed him and thronged him. So we have Jesus, we have this great multitude of people that have crowded and swarmed Jesus Christ, and they are headed to the house of Jairus. Now, the reason the people are following Christ is they want to see a miracle. They want to see what Jesus is going to do with the daughter of Jairus. So they're excited, they're anxious, they're longing to see a miracle. So the multitude of people and Jesus and Jairus, they're proceeding to the house, and no doubt news would begin to spread that Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus and he was going to heal the ruler's daughter. And as news spread, again, I believe the crowd probably grew as they made their way to this house. So we get the picture of a large crowd of people packed into a narrow street heading to the house of Jairus. And Jesus and this crowd, as Jesus and this crowd make their way to the house of Jairus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three draw our attention to a particular woman who became a part of this multitude. Notice in Matthew chapter 9, and verse 20, and behold, calling our attention, something remarkable, and behold a woman, and behold a woman. So Matthew calls our attention to this woman. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, Mark says, and a certain woman. He said in verse 24, much people followed him, but then in verse 25, and a certain woman. So Mark draws our attention to this woman. In the book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, again in verse 42, but as he went, the people thronged him. And then notice verse 43, and a woman. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke draw attention to this woman. Now, you have a procession of people heading toward a house, and this woman interrupted this procession. She was like Jairus. Remember, Jairus came pleading on behalf of his daughter. They're on the way to the house of Jairus. She, like him, was desperate for a miracle in her life. And this woman's story is, there's many lessons to be gathered from it. Certainly has all the healing miracles of Christ. It is a picture of the salvation of a sinner. No question about that. But also this woman's story stands as a testimony of her faith Stans has a testimony of her perseverance in the face of many obstacles, and that's a lesson for you and I that are saved. She is also an illustration of one who had a personal experience of Christ while all the others in that multitude were merely curiosity seekers. She had, of all that multitude, she had a personal experience with Christ. And that is still true today, as sad as it might be. Many will gather around Jesus, but very, very, very few have a personal experience with Christ. Most are merely curiosity seekers. When I say that, I'm talking about the religious world as a whole. The religious world is filled with curiosity seekers. The religious world is not filled with people who have actually had personal experience of Jesus Christ. But this woman had a personal experience with Christ, had a contact with Christ that literally changed her life. The others in that crowd, they had a contact with Christ. They were thronging him. They were touching him. But their contact with Christ did not have a life-altering effect. But this woman came into contact with Christ in a very special way. And this is a lesson that we learn from this miracle, and we'll dwell on that more later. But first of all, we need to consider the condition of this woman. Again, it illustrates the condition of the unsaved sinner. And it also, I believe, illustrates the condition that a child of God can fall into. So with all the healing miracles, there is application to the unsaved, and there is application to the saved. But first of all, this woman had a very real and serious need. Everyone in that crowd had a real need. Everyone in that crowd had a very serious need. But the difference was, she was fully aware of her need. Jairus realized his need, or his daughter's need. This woman realized her need. Everyone in that crowd had desperate needs, but they didn't realize it. This woman realized her need. There isn't anyone alive that does not have desperate need. There are a few who realize their need. And it's those who realize their need that Christ makes a difference in their life. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke each record that this woman had an issue of blood. The word issue there simply means flow. She had a flow of blood. You may not think that is serious, but it's very serious. Notice in Matthew chapter 9, again, each record this, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She was diseased with an issue or a flow of blood. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue or a flow of blood 12 years. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that this woman had a flow of blood and that she had had this for 12 years. Now, this issue or flow of blood seems to be a gynecological flow of blood. And the significance of that is that it would make her unclean, which would bring many other results as well, consequences. Notice in Luke chapter 15, or I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, this goes beyond what would be normal, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. That is, she was an outcast. She shall be unclean. All the days that flow continued, that woman would be considered unclean. She would not be allowed to touch anything. No one was to touch her. She was to stay away from everybody. All the days of the issue of her blood. Now, we are specifically told that this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years. That means for 12 years, she was considered unclean. For 12 years, she was an outcast. An outcast to her family. An outcast to her friends. And an outcast from the place of worship. She was not allowed to go into the place of worship. So she was ostracized from everyone and everything. This, of course, would result in loneliness, no doubt. And after 12 years, I'm sure there was emotional and psychological issues. I don't care who it is. You separate them and you outcast them for 12 years, they're going to have some emotional and psychological issues. And though Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not record that she had these, I think it's quite obvious, considering her circumstances and considering the length of her circumstances, that this woman had emotional and psychological scars. I'm not saying she was crazy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying she had emotional and psychological issues. Now, notice in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that she had an issue of blood. But Matthew puts it a little differently. In Matthew 9, verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood. She was diseased. Matthew's the only one who says that. She was diseased, that is, she was ailing with this issue of blood. Her body was contaminated. If you have disease, that's contamination. Her body was contaminated with this issue of blood. Now notice how Mark refers to it in Mark chapter 5 and verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She is diseased with this issue of blood. And Mark refers to it as a plague. A plague is an infestation. A plague is something that torments. It is something that ravages the body. This woman had a plague. She had this plague for 12 years. Her need was great. Her need was real. Her need was very, very serious. And her need was desperate. She could not continue living this way. Eventually, it would take her life. She was diseased and plagued with this flow of blood. So this woman had a very real and serious need. Again, everyone in that multitude had a very real and serious need. And everyone in that multitude had a very desperate need. But this woman realized her need. Her condition was continuous. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each record that she had this issue or flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. This flow of blood was always there. That means for 12 years she suffered. You know, the older you get, time seems to go faster. It doesn't, of course, but it seems to. But let me tell you something. If you have a plague and a disease for 12 years, that 12 years is going to drag on. That is a long 12 years. And this woman suffered for 12 years. Suffered as an outcast for 12 years. This woman no doubt was in anguish. She was in distress. And she was so for 12 years. This woman had much misery in her life just by ceremonial law. The law itself would cause much misery and heartache in her life. But for 12 years, this woman dealt with this. For 12 years, she was an outcast. For 12 years, she was vexed. For 12 years, she was tormented physically, emotionally, and spiritually. For 12 years. For 12 years, she had a life of suffering, life of sorrow. Again, you're an outcast. That's going to cause some sorrow. For 12 years, she experienced loneliness. So we get a brief picture of this woman's condition. May I say again that this illustrates the condition of a lost sinner, and it can illustrate the condition that some of God's people can fall into. But as bad as her condition is, there's no comparison to the condition of a lost sinner. There's no comparison to the condition that some of God's people fall into. And we'll continue next week, but we see that this woman's need was very serious. This woman's need was very desperate. And she came to Christ. Let's look to the Lord.